Blog Talk Radio.
Bonnie?
Yes.
How are you?
Can you hear me? I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to have you on the show. So thank you for taking time out. Thank you for considering my show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you.
So before we talk about your amazing book, novel, how have you been through this whole pandemic thing? How has life been?
Life has been, I think, for all of us in the pandemic, a little bit uncertain, but it seems like maybe we're coming out the other side.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So your book, Lessons in Chemistry. And, you know, the first thought came to my mind when I saw the title, I said, oh, she's teaching us about chemistry. And it brought me back. It brought me back to high school when I was learning this chemistry. I'm like, oh. But it's a little interesting when I skimmed through the book and was, you know, reading through it. Because
yeah.
I love biology, but chemistry and physics, I'm like, oh, no, it's not for me. So
I had a similar feeling, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't enjoy chemistry in high school at all, but I needed it for the book, so it was important to kind of go back and decide to teach myself chemistry. So that's what I did.
Absolutely, because you think you love science until you get to chemistry, and you're like, oh gosh, that's where it hits you.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I love science, and so I got to chemistry. I said, you know, this is it. I can't do it no more. Because I always wanted to be a doctor coming up. I said, when I get up, I want to be a doctor. But you got to know chemistry and stuff like that. It never happened.
Well, it's pretty good to be a radio show host. So I'm in awe of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Your book, tell us a little bit about, I read bits and pieces, but tell us a little bit about your wonderful character, Elizabeth, and what inspired you to write about her.
Oh, okay. Well, Elizabeth kind of represents for me, she's a feminist icon, but I think that she is also somebody who appeals to both men and women, because she is the kind of woman, especially back when I think she lived, which was the late 50s, early 60s, she's someone who stands up for the underdog, including herself. And she is a very rational person, which is, I think, appealing these days because we seem to be living in an irrational time. But she was, in my head, she was a chemist, and she gets fired from her job for the crime of being pregnant and goes on to become a TV cooking show host. But she's not really teaching women how to just simply make dinner. She's empowering a nation to be better than they are, to become catalysts for change.
Mm-hmm. And that whole process, so prior to doing the book, you stated previously that you learned chemistry, but so before, how much of the process did you learn before doing the book?
Nothing. I started the book. I wrote the first chapter. I realized I didn't really know chemistry. And so I bought a used textbook off of eBay from the 1950s, and I just taught myself very basic chemistry from that. And I knew that she needed to be a TV cooking show host because cooking really is chemistry. So that part unfolded more naturally for me. But no, I kind of just had to make the whole thing up as I went along.
So I mean, so let's take it back to the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the challenges and some of the ups and downs that Elizabeth had to go through during that time to be taken seriously on a professional level.
Right. Well, you know, back then women didn't have very many choices in terms of careers. They could be teachers or nurses or librarians, but, you know, the choices were very narrow. And so for a woman to be a scientist back then was a very, very big mountain to climb. And she was going to be fighting against a lot of misogyny at every single turn, which is what happens to Elizabeth. She suffers sexual assault. And her work is stolen. She's disregarded as a scientist, even though she's probably one of the most brilliant scientists at her research center. And so these challenges were just common day for women back then. And I have to say that I've been hearing from a lot of women scientists lately, and they're telling me not that much has changed, which I find very frightening, actually. But I will say, I said it back then because that's when my mom was a mom, and I wanted a chance to look back and see what kind of limits she had lived under and if we really had made progress. And I'm really thrilled to say that we have made some progress, but not nearly enough. And I think that we can do a lot better. So I'm thrilled with the reception that the book is getting and the way everyone, men and women, are seeing a little bit of themselves in Elizabeth Vaught.
But why do you think that women weren't taken seriously back then to do science, to be a scientist or to be a chemist or a biologist? Mm-hmm. Why do you think that?
Oh, well, it's just a fact, actually. There are very, very few women in science back then because they weren't encouraged to pursue science. But the myth in society at that time was that women were not capable. They weren't smart enough to do this kind of work, which, you know, was completely false. But our society has a way of generating new myths all the time. And at that time, there was this idea that women belonged in the home and only the home and nowhere else, and that they just simply weren't smart enough to do what they considered to be man's work, which is interesting coming off of the war, when the women had taken the men's jobs in factories and technical settings and had done a very, very good job at all of those jobs. So to suddenly be relegated to only changing diapers was something that was not, it's not biological, that is cultural. And that struggle still goes on today, actually. It's not as bad as it was, but it's still lurking there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Besides Elizabeth, what are some of your other favorite characters in this book?
I'm very fond of her boss at the TV studio, Walter Pine. And I like him because I think he's also a man who has been caught in a cultural bind. He's expected to be very aggressive at work, and it's just not in his nature to do that. He has hired a woman who's making his life miserable, and yet he can't help but respect her and what she stands for. So I like the tension between Walter and Elizabeth. But I'm also really fond of 630 the dog and Harriet, her next-door neighbor, who helps her out when she's a new mother with no one else to turn to.
Mm-hmm. 630 the dog. Tell us a little about it, though. How did you come up with that character?
Well, that character of 630 is the only character which is based on a real live being. That character was based on a dog I had at that time named Friday. And Friday was had come to us from a shelter. She'd been badly abused. And we, you know, kind of underestimated how smart she was. Well, not kind of. We definitely underestimated her brain power. And she was able to learn quite a few words. We weren't teaching her words. She was listening to us and picking these words up on her own. And she would demonstrate this by retrieving things that we would name, you know, not even talking to her. She would just go find them. So we were transferred abroad to Switzerland. And this is how ridiculously smart this dog was. She learned some German as well. So my whole point in having 630 in the book was to have a character who questions America, who questions human intelligence, who understands that we only perceive intelligence through our own definition, and we don't consider the intelligence as much from the animal kingdom. And I wanted him to comment on that and on the very stupid choices we often end up making, so he would provide a more anthropological view of what animals might be thinking about us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before I ask my next question, I'm gonna do another question. How do you feel this? Do you think this book will have an impact and open more doors for women that wants to be chemists or physicists in the very near future?
Oh, I really hope so. You know, I've gotten quite a few direct messages from women, and I recently got one from a 15-year-old girl who was really afraid, actually, to go into the sciences. She said, I've always wanted to be in the sciences, and I have to make some decisions about this now, but I've been getting so much pushback from the boys at school that I felt like it might not be a possibility. But she said after reading the book, she's determined not only to be a scientist, but a chemist. So that was thrilling.
That's awesome. That is awesome. In the book, it's about finding family. What about family is important in the book?
Well, I think it's really important. A lot of us, not really me, but a lot of people are born into families where they don't really feel like they fit in for some reason or another. And I think that that's fairly common around the world, that you might feel out of place in your own family. But family is something that undergoes change all the time. And it is chemical. It is chemistry. And families can be found and remade, and they can come out of other relationships that are important. And I think that that was, for me, a very important message to have for the readers, that while you may not feel like you fit, you do fit somewhere, and there are people out there who are your family, and creating that family is simply opening yourself up to other people.
Absolutely. The not just a term, not just as far as with science, but in my opinion, sometimes I believe that you have to have a good work chemistry, and that can also, you know, help with a lot of different things. So not just a term, not just a scientific term, but, you know, the actual chemistry of us working together. And this book was very interesting to me because besides this, I work in mental health. And a lot of the times when we have our meetings, and so the guy, we have a panel of different people, whether it be mental physicians and, you know, that nature. And a lot of the guys said, oh, well, there was a female who wanted to be, you know, in charge. Well, he said, no, you can be, I'm in charge, but you can be second in command. So the entire time that, you know, this whole thing is going on, it's like they never allowed a female to lead. You can be second in command, but you always have to report to a male. Because they didn't see a female to be fit to run the entire thing. And so I'm like, you know, today it still exists. And
yes, it really does.
And I'm not sure, you know, I guess it goes all the way back to the, let me see, go back to like, what do you call it, the BC era, where, you know, you always have this, you ever have this, there's a song that, who sings this song? This is a man's world. And I guess that goes all the way back to that situation where, you know, even though we have women are here, but, you know, this they consider the man, I guess, because, you know, our higher power God is a man. So I guess that that has a little bit of a situation. But my thing is now where I'm seeing now where I never would thought that women would be truck drivers, women would be mechanics. Mm-hmm. I never thought that. But they are.
Yeah.
It surprises me.
Right.
Like, really? A woman's doing this? So, I mean, hey, listen, if to me personally as a male, if a woman can do the job and get the job done, why not?
Well, exactly right. Yeah, and I really appreciate you saying that, because it is these limits that have been imposed on us, and I mean all of us, men and women, are imposed by other people, many of who aren't even alive anymore. These are old rules that we don't have to live by anymore. So I think it's wonderful to hear you say that, especially, and I do think women are just as capable as men in all areas. There's really nothing that a woman can't do. We all have the same kind of brains, and our physical size isn't a limit for us. So hopefully going forward, more and more people will just realize that and will stop putting women in a secondary position.
Absolutely. The book was so interesting to me, you know, I'm glad I actually read through the book to actually get the meaning of it, you know, because the first thing somebody looks at a lesson is, oh, well, Bonnie's teaching us about chemistry. So now when I go to college to get my chemistry degree, I'm going to read Bonnie's book. But then when they actually read it, they'll say, oh, this is what, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so if I say something, you got to read, you know, reading is fundamental, you know, because you got to read. Because you always can't read a book. Don't judge a book by its cover.
exactly right.
You got to read it. So if we can sum this up, what are like three great words you can describe Elizabeth?
What Elizabeth would say is that if she had to describe herself, she would say, I'm hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. But what she really is, of course, is a person who's very rational and sees things based on evidence that she can believe. And she works from that. She works from a factual base, and that's how she makes her decisions about how to live. So she does not accept society's rules or myths or anything, because logically she shouldn't, nor should the rest of us.
Totally. If I may ask, you're a very brilliant author. What are your tips or advice to individuals that would like to become authors such as yourself?
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you for that compliment. I would say, you know, writing is a lot of writing, actually. It's just practice, practice, practice. You read, try to read as many really talented authors, and there's so many of them out there. Read what they write. Hear the rhythm of their sentences and their words. Watch how they structure a story. And then write from your heart and try not to be, you know, be self-critical, but don't let someone sit on your shoulder and tell you you're not any good. Just keep writing.
Absolutely. Now, are you planning to take this, if I may ask, are you planning to take this to the next level, such as like a TV, a movie or something to that nature?
Oh, actually, it's already in production. Apple TV picked it up, and it's starring Brie Larson, and they're starting to shoot this summer in July, and it will be out hopefully next year in July or August or so. It's a limited series, and the producers are Michael Costigan, Jason Bateman, Brie Larson. It's very exciting. So moving forward, it'll be on TV pretty soon, actually. So another year, a little more than a year and a half.
Oh, Mike, look at you. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. Did you have a chance to, like, go on the set or something to actually see the actual...
They're not starting to shoot until this July, but yes, I've been invited to the set, and I'm definitely going to go. I'm really excited about that.
Oh man, that's like that is like amazing. Like this, so like the actual author is actually there, and you know, with the actual character, see how it's actually played out. That's going to be amazing to see your work actually played out into life.
I think it'll be great. You know, I'm not writing this series. They have a writer's room and they're adapting it. So it'll be really, you know, I have it easy. And I just get to go and watch, which I think is really spectacular. So no complaints from me.
Absolutely. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on this wonderful book. Much success with everything, Bonnie. It was a privilege and an honor to have you on, and this cannot be your last visit to the show. acknowledgments or anything that you want to say before I let you go? I'm not going to keep you all day.
Oh, no, I just want to say thanks a lot to my publishers, all of them. I have 38 now, but a special thanks to Doubleday UK and Doubleday US, and to my lovely agents, Felicity Blunt, Jennifer Joel, and Luke Speed, and also to my incredible editors, Jane Lawson and Lee Boudreau. I could not have done any of this without them and their support.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Bonnie. I appreciate you. And hopefully I get to see you back soon. And hopefully next time I'll have you invite you over here to the studio.
Uh-huh. That'd be great.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. You be blessed.
Thank you. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Special thanks to Bonnie Garments for coming on the show. Make sure you guys support her new book. It's in stores now. Wherever you buy books, Lessons in Chemistry, make sure you read the book. It's interesting. Talks about a lot of different things that went on back in the 50s, 60s, and actually still exists to this day. So make sure you guys check the book out. I'm going to jump into a few tracks in the album. Special thanks to Bonnie Garments for coming on the show. Make sure you pick up her book, Lessons in Chemistry. If you missed the interview, you missed an amazing interview. Make sure you check the archives to check the interview out. For more information on today's episode, TimothyHodgeShow@gmail.com for more information, or check out our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or TikTok. So we'll be broadcasting live from there as well. Shout out to everybody here at BTR, Power 93.4 FM, iHeartRadio, all of you guys for supporting the show. Love you. Stay up. Stay strong. So we'll be on again. We have another amazing guest come up this week. I cannot wait. It's so amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening to me today. I appreciate you so much. Please stay safe. Continue to be blessed. For more information, again, on today's show, TimothyHodgeShow@gmail.com. I'm going to leave you with Justin Bieber by request. Nevertheless, also, so much in the world, so much coming up. Appreciate you so much. Thank you. Love you. Stay up, stay strong. Peace.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. And I see you, oh, the way I breathe you in, it's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go. I'm in my Yorker. Hate to leave a college torture. Remember when I couldn't hold her. Left her baggage for a moment. I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California. That's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah.
I get the feeling so I'm sure. And in my hand because I'm yours. I can't pretend, I can't ignore you right from me. Don't think you wanna know just where I've been. Oh, don't be distracted. The one I need is right in my arms. Your kiss is like the sweetest of mine. And I'll be right here with you till the end.
I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California. That's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. Badass bitch. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's that shit. I took my chick up to the north, yeah, badass bitch. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah, that's it. I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah shit. I get my weed from California, that's